All right, here we go. A tornado. It's going to be a rough morning. A tornado warning in effect right now for St. John and Northern St. Charles Parish, Laplace and Edgard heading southeast. But just a warning, and it's not like it used to be. There's not a tornado on the ground, and from the indication of Chris Bannon, from what he told us, there's no indication of a debris field. So we'll watch that. The worst of the weather expected to hit the South Shore between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and then by 8 and 9, it should be all clear, and we'll have to watch what happens after that for this afternoon to see if anything else pops up. Our Taking It to the Text survey is asking you at 504-260-1870. I thought this would be interesting to establish a benchmark. Are you willing right now, barring any gross shenanigans going on, let's put it that way, are you willing to accept the results of the election, the midterm elections that are coming up? And I ask that now as we welcome in David Schultz, professor of political science at Hamline University. So we don't change it because your person, your gal or guy doesn't win. So right now, are you willing to accept the results, barring any gross malfeasance or anything else? And if you are, then how do you determine whether you're just a sore loser or the process is faulty? So with that, we welcome you in. Good morning.
Thank you very much. Actually, your question is an interesting one because Mike Lindell, you know, who ran for Republican governor, it's been a kind of an interesting story up here. He ran as a Republican, was ahead in the polls, but within margin of error. I think you guys know who he is. He was the Mike Lindell guy.
Right. Okay.
So I wanted to be sure. He wasn't just a local celebrity. Yeah. Okay. Was a point or two ahead in the polls, you know, but within the margin of error, loses pretty handily in the Republican primary, and then says, well, I don't trust the results. I want a recount. But he got beaten by enough that the recount, he was going to have to pay for it himself, wasn't a mandatory one. And then he didn't like the idea that he's going to have to pay. He didn't like the idea about the way they were going to do the recount. He just said, well, I still think there's fraud, but I'm not going to challenge it. And I feel bad for the Republican nominee for governor at this point because, you know, for all apparent purposes, it looks like she won fair and square. But within the Republican Party, he's casting huge doubt upon the results without any evidence.
I look at this story from the Brookings Institution that they did a study about election fraud, and they found that it was, like, unbelievably low. And look, there's never been a pristine election completely, but the question is it enough to make a difference or not, right? And I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but it was a remarkably, when it came to the presidential election, a remarkably low number. Tell me about the Supreme Court ruling and what it is that the executive order calls for, what the Supreme Court ruling said, and where the elections stand now as it relates to the post office and their involvement.
Okay, there's a lot of stuff here. Okay,
yeah. So unpack it all, David.
Yeah. Back in,
I just threw
a
suitcase on a bed. Now it's up to you to unpack it.
Okay, good. Okay, so I think it was back in March. Trump issues an executive order that basically says that there's going to be certain requirements attached to voting by mail in terms of what the ballots look like, barcodes, et cetera, and was going to be applied to states that were unwilling to share their voter registrations or rolls with them. Clearly challenged, including challenged by attorney generals in Democratic states. There was a whole bunch of preliminary injunctions or temporary restraining orders to prevent the order from going into effect. Then on, let's see, I think it was this Monday, the Supreme Court said that the states at that time didn't have the authority to bring the case because there wasn't a final rule in place that allowed them to challenge it. So the Supreme Court listed the injunction. I think it was yesterday. There was also still another injunction in place brought by a different group of people. That was then listed by the lower court judge. So technically, as of today, Trump's administrative executive order regarding mail-in ballots can go into effect. But I checked early this morning just to be sure. It hadn't happened yet. My guess is sometime before noon today, there will be a whole flurry of new suits and there will be some more temporary restraining orders because the Supreme Court never ruled on the merits. It was all procedural. And the real problem for Trump is what's called the Election Clause. The Election Clause, which is Article 1, Section 4, says the time, matter, and place for holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed by the state legislature, but Congress, that's the important part, may at any time by law alter regulations. Notice what that language doesn't say, the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. And so on the face of it, it does not look like the president's got a very good argument at this point. Of course, the wild card is the Supreme Court eventually. But again, there's been no ruling on the merits. And we are in some states. I can't speak to your state. Some states we are getting very close to early voting mm-hmm. occurring that the amount of confusion would be pretty dramatic.
Well, let me take a break. We'll talk about that. When we come back, we'll talk about the role of the post office. Somebody texted and said, interesting how we go from no fraud occurs to maybe some fraud, but as long as there isn't gross fraud, we have to accept the outcome. I don't know whoever said that no fraud occurs, and they say it's interesting. I don't know what that means. All that means is that, to me, you're trying to make a story where there is none. The Brookings Institution found that about 4 cases of fraud in every 10 million ballots cast. So that's to say there is no pristine election, but it's not consequential. Traffic now, WWL. 6:29, Tommy Tucker. Quickly back to David Schultz, professor of political science and law at Hamline University. So where does the post office fit into this whole Trump mail-in ballot thing?
He wants them to refuse to mail certain ballots to certain people in certain states. And so he's ordering to do that. And again, going back to what the Election Clause says, doesn't look like the president has the authority to do that. I want to throw one last thing in
sure.
here. Do you bowl or do you golf at all?
Okay.
You have a better chance of bowling a 300 game or a hole-in-one on a regular course than you do in terms of showing that voter fraud actually exists. And so, and again, as far as I know, not too many people get 300s or get hole-in-ones or something. So, so just to put that into perspective.
Once you sow that seed of doubt, how hard is it to unsow?
You can't change people's minds. You can't change people's minds. I've said to somebody, you can't, if somebody believes in the tooth fairy, you can't change their mind. Here, people are convinced that there's widespread voter fraud. No amount of facts is going to change their mind, no matter what you tell them. The Heritage Foundation, the Cronkite School of Journalism, repeatedly organizations. I mean, I've documented probably at least a dozen studies, if not more.
On both
on
sides.
Both sides. No one's saying there is no fraud, but in terms of is it consequential, the answer is no.
Gotcha. Thank you. Appreciate it, David. We'll take a break, talk to Mike Strain. We come back right now in time for WWL First News.